All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Daily Faceoff podcast comes courtesy of the Nation Network. Here's your host, Brock Segan, with Dylan D. Berthume and Michael Beebs Bondi.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Season 9, Episode 35 of the DFO Fantasy Podcast, presented to you by Betway. If you're going to place a bet, bet on Betway. Please play responsibly. Ontario only, must be 19 years of age or older. I'm your host, Brock Segan. With me, as always, got Dylan D. Berthume and Michael Beebs Bondi. D, you're back in the area, but we didn't get together. We're still doing it online, so that's pretty sad. But maybe we'll get in touch over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm picking up the message you're laying down, and my feelings are hurt. But I'm a professional, and I'm gonna work through it. And happy to be here for the people, although our personal relationship has been damaged.
Yeah, and I'm here as the glue guy to hope or try to piece together that relationship. So hopefully by the end of the show, you guys will be back to being at least friends a little bit, because I want to watch some hockey this weekend with you guys. I also was feeling it, because Brock's just his place is we have to meet there. So this one's all on him. We're pinning it on him. But either way, we're here. It's almost fantasy playoffs. I'm sweating every single night I look at my lineup. It's good. We're good.
Yeah. It was either record in the dark and freezing cold, or record online. And truthfully, I was looking out for your best interest. It was no hard feelings whatsoever. But we got a lot to cover, a lot of ground to cover on today's show. We're going to take a look at some of the trades that we didn't get a chance to talk about. We went over a lot of the trades that happened last week. And then obviously it was a busy Thursday, Friday for the trade deadline. And there are a number of key moves that affect the fantasy landscape. We're going to talk about some of the bigger moves, some of the smaller moves, and whether or not those players became fantasy-worthy pickups. We're also going to take a look back at just a couple of the trades that we talked about that happened before last week's show, and just kind of reevaluate kind of what our stance was last week, where we stand now, what's changed, what we know. You know, we got a little bit of a better idea on some of these situations. So quick revisit to those trades as well. And then we're going to take a look ahead to week 24, which is going to be the first week of the fantasy playoffs for most of our listeners. And boy, oh boy, week 24 is an absolute doozy when you look at the schedule. So getting ahead of things and making sure you're streaming players appropriately could be a huge advantage in the first week of the playoffs and really punch your ticket to the semifinals. And then, of course, we'll wrap up the show with these weekend streamers. So without further ado, let's get into some of the bigger trades. We'll talk about Jake Guentzel going from Pittsburgh to Carolina and also Tyler Toffoli from New Jersey to Winnipeg. D, we'll start with you here. Jake Guentzel was a player we talked about. It probably wasn't going to get much better for him, obviously riding next to Sidney Crosby for a long time in Pittsburgh and obviously a fixture on that top power play. It was hard to envision him landing in a spot in which his situation really got better. In Carolina, I don't think it's a huge downgrade, but it's got to be a downgrade, especially at the moment, playing on a line with Evgeny Kuznetsov, not Sebastian Aho. He is on the top power play, but that's also a team that really likes to balance the usage of their three or four lines, and he's probably going to see a little bit of a dip in ice time moving forward. So do you agree that it was probably still a downgrade, even though he moves to one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, obviously where he's playing in the lineup right now, far from ideal on that second line. Svechkov, Aho, Teravainen are really clicking right now, so it's hard to imagine him moving up at 5v5. I do think there's a possibility he moves up from the second unit to that first power play unit sooner than later. Was kind of surprised to see Kuznetsov getting the crack there in that spot ahead of Guentzel. So I do think Guentzel could really provide an even further boost to what's been a really productive power play. And if you recall, that's where I was kind of excited about his potential, or his upside potentially growing, was the fact that the Penguins have had one of the worst power plays in the league all season long, and now he moves to a team in the Hurricanes with the fourth best power play rate in the NHL on the season. So I still think that's probably your best bet if you're a Jake Guentzel owner in terms of squeezing some additional value out of this deal. But, having one game to go off of, it doesn't look great where he ended up. You know, obviously those minutes are down, and that was one of the things that was a little bit concerning with him going to Carolina. It's just such a deep team, and they tend to roll all four lines pretty consistently. So just not going to be quite as much minutes for him to go around, especially given how much he'd been playing in Pittsburgh the last couple of years, up near almost 21 minutes a night. So those are your concerns. If you want some hope to latch on to, though, certainly that power play. And like I said, hoping he can get onto that top unit sooner than later.
I find this one really hard, too, because he's coming off that injury, right? It's been 3 weeks. So they might have kind of been babying him a bit. You know, this is their new toy. You don't want him to go out there and get hurt, Max Pacioretty style, like last year. They do not want to have that type of deja vu. So Carolina, I think, was kind of, babying him in. And that's why I could see Kuznetsov on that top power play. But at the same time, I'm right there with you, D. I think best case, you're getting like a parallel move here. It's a guy who played 8 years with Sidney Crosby. So 8 years with arguably one of the greatest players of all time. Yes, Carolina's a very good team, but that's a tough move. And he was an absolute stud before he moved. So, it's going to be tough to keep that production. New team, quick transition, only 20 games left this year. Either way, though, I don't think that the downfall is too much to worry that much. But I don't think it's going to get better, unfortunately, for Jake Guentzel going to Carolina.
Yeah, we'll talk about Evgeny Kuznetsov a little bit later in the show. But he's actually looked pretty decent in his first few games with the Carolina Hurricanes. But we'll talk about him later. Let's focus in now on Tyler Toffoli. So he goes from the Devils to the Jets. And to me, this one is more, like you said, like a lateral move here than the Guentzel one. I do think it's a bit of a downgrade for Guentzel unless he does get that top power play usage. But Toffoli, he kind of bounced around that New Jersey Devils lineup, whether it was with Nico Hischier, whether it was Jack Hughes, he was in pretty good hands. And then the same thing goes, I think, in Winnipeg, right? That second line with Sean Monahan has been solid. He's on the top power play unit. And if things aren't going perfectly, he's going to find himself on the Mark Scheifele line. Like, it's going to happen. He's going to bounce back and forth in the top six like he did in New Jersey. And this is a Winnipeg Jets team that's still quite potent offensively. And Tyler Toffoli is one of those players that does a lot of his damage, in tight, in the dirty areas, on the power play. And I don't think much is going to change for him in a move from New Jersey to Winnipeg. So to me, if I'm a Guentzel owner, I'm a little bit more nervous, especially like you said, he's probably babied in a little bit, but seeing 15 minutes and 12 seconds in his debut is a bit alarming. I would imagine it's going to come up a little bit if that continues, not ideal at all, but I feel better 18, as a Toffoli. Yeah, I feel better as a Toffoli owner, just in terms of the value change. I don't think that it was as big as what we've seen for Jake Guentzel. What do you feel about this one, Beeps?
Well, I think too for this one, it's kind of like the value, like I think Jake Guentzel holds a higher value as a player. So it's kind of more pressure, I guess, for him to perform out there if we're comparing him in that regard. But no, I totally agree. I think this is pretty much a parallel move. Have that again written here. Just going to abuse words. But no, one thing that was kind of weird. It's rare that we see a player get traded from a roster that should be in the playoffs to a roster that is in the playoffs, because New Jersey, let's face it, that is a roster that should have been in the playoffs. So that's why this makes it such an easy side-by-side move, I think. And you're right, he's in the same kind of position. He's going to be that guy in front of the net getting those dirty goals and probably put up 35 plus this year. If you have him, just ride it out. Don't worry too much, I think. And, you know, things are looking good just by the way he's lining up throughout that lineup. And he seems happy to be out there. So, you know, that's always good for him. But I don't know if you feel different him going out there.
I didn't love it as a Toffoli owner. I was kind of hopeful he ended up on a more, I guess, offensively potent club. The Jets winning formula is certainly to dominate the puck at 5v5, but really limit their opponent's chances and obviously rely on their strong blue line and even stronger goaltender Connor Hellebuck. The Devils have actually scored what is pretty significantly more goals per game, almost or 0.2 more goals per game. So you got a fifth of a goal each night to work off of. The Devils are 12th in the league in that matter, whereas the Jets are 18th. The Devils have had a better power play this year. I don't love Sean Monahan. I feel like I've said it a few times, but I do think that's a pretty noteworthy downgrade going from either Jack Hughes or Nico Hischier to Sean Monahan. I think it's more of a fast or feast or famine now with him in Winnipeg, between whether he ends up on that top line with Scheifele and Connor or if he's limited to a second line role with Monahan. I just don't think he offers the same amount of offensive upside. I think Toffoli's still a great player. Obviously, you're holding on to him, but as a Toffoli owner, I was disappointed to see where he ended up.
Yeah, like it wasn't the worst case scenario, I don't think, but it certainly could have
not the best
been better for him without a doubt. But it will be interesting. You know, I think part of the reason why he lands, you know, on that second line, at least to start, is it's a couple of familiar faces. Cross paths with Sean Monahan in Montreal, and then obviously was kind of a long. Did he cross paths with him? I believe he did. Right, Monahan was on that team. Maybe not.
I need to figure that out.
No, they didn't. I think they were a year apart. But nonetheless, he was definitely with Alex Iafallo for a long time in Los Angeles. So familiar face there. We'll see. Mark Scheifele was out tonight and nothing really changed for them. But we'll see, you know, how things go. Obviously, in his first game, they pitched a 3-0 shutout. So,
yep. They, you're kind of half right. They crossed paths in Calgary, but not in Montreal.
Ooh.
Calgary. Sorry. I knew they were together at some point.
There you go.
But,
him and I follow too. First night went out for dinner. Fun fact that we see on Twitter, just following everything that just came out.
So easing him in with some familiar faces. Maybe we can hang our hat on that. And then, yeah, when you pitch a 3-0 shutout in his debut, probably not going to change things up too much for the second game. Okay. So obviously those two guys are not readily available on the waiver wire. 94% owned for Guentzel, 85% owned for Tyler Toffoli. So not going to pick them up, not dropping either of them. Probably each of them could have landed in slightly better situations, but still not terrible. Now let's focus on some guys that are much lower owned that were dealt at the deadline. And let's start with the biggest blockbuster of them all, dropping right before the trade deadline. Tomas Hertl goes from San Jose to Vegas. If we were more of like a regular real-life hockey podcast, I think we would break down some of the moves that the San Jose Sharks made on deadline day because they were questionable at best. This one, for sure, eating money for an extended period of time seems less than ideal. But let's focus on the fantasy hockey outlook here for Tomas Hertl. 39% owned, center eligible. To me, it's a no-brainer. You stash him. It does sound they're talking that he is expected to be back before the end of the regular season. So he's somebody that could be injected into the Vegas lineup towards the end of the season and injected into your fantasy lineup for the fantasy hockey playoffs. And you know, where he lands in this lineup obviously still remains to be seen. He's very deep down the middle with William Karlsson and Jack Eichel at the moment. I think most likely he lands on the second line and probably bumps Chandler Stephenson to the wing. Seems like the most likely landing spot. But this is obviously a guy that, you know, comes at no cost to you right now. If you can stash him on your IR, if you've got that spot, I know I did in my league of record. And I'm excited at the prospect of him potentially returning here for the fantasy hockey playoffs. D, are you running daily faceoff right now? Should we go to Biebs here first? How are you feeling?
Biebs. He is crushing it. Yeah, so I'm going to slide in real sneaky here. I'm there with you, Brock. I think if you do have that spot, but if you don't get him. I'm not that sad about it. This is a guy who hasn't played an actual game since January 27th. So by the time he comes back, it's going to be about 2 full months. And Vegas is going to be in the heat of everything. So they're going to need him going full chug. But I mean, whatever Vegas sauce they're throwing into the bodies out there, he might just come back at 120%. So who really knows? But yeah, if you do have those extra IL spots, I know since the COVID outbreak, a lot of people have kind of added spots, myself included, to their league. So you do sometimes have a ridiculous number. So if you can fit him, it's worth it. But right now we're seeing guys go down with illness every other game. So you definitely need to have one open spot for your IR plus if your league rolls that way, because this is a trend that we're seeing nightly, and one that you can definitely, you know, abuse these streamers, Brock's weekly pickups on. But back to Hurdle. Yeah, if you stash him, bonus, you got to make like the finals though of your league. So that's also another part of that stash.
I think it depends. I don't know exactly how long he's going to be out still. They haven't really said. So yeah, it could be.
He's not skating.
I mean, if he's back in 2 weeks, that's the first week of the playoffs, right? So he could be available for the first week of the fantasy hockey playoffs. We'll see how it plays out. I stashed Evgeny Kuznetsov as soon as he was traded to the Hurricanes because I had an extra IR plus. Stashed him there really quickly. He was ready to make his debut. Hurdle gets traded. I went to scoop Hurdle up, and then Kuznetsov was active, and I made that quick little switch. Kuznetsov in the lineup, Hurdle on IR plus. See how things roll here. Kuznetsov's going to definitely get a little bit of a tryout for me, especially now that he's moved up from the fourth line already.
Pretty crazy broken trick, too, that you guys can use if you are in Yahoo leagues. You can't even adjust it, but you can add guys off your free agent straight to your...
That's what I did with Hurdle. It was just right in. Like, you don't even have to drop.
Yeah, you don't even have to drop anyone. It's actually, it kind of bugs the hell out of me because it just, you should have to. But at the same time, if it's there, abuse it. And yeah, Thomas Hurdle flies right down that category. So it's a little tips you learn on the pod here.
Hurdle obviously had for as bad as the San Jose Sharks were, you know, Hurdle's had a pretty productive season, 15 goals, 19 assists, 34 points, playing on by far the worst team in the league, back-to-back 60-point seasons prior, 30 goals a couple of years ago. He's definitely somebody that brings a very, you know, probably like, kind of similar to Mark Stone, right, in where he brings a better real-life hockey game than he does fantasy game, but still somebody that can absolutely chip in for you. And if he lands in a productive spot in Vegas, I think he's somebody that could be helpful in the fantasy hockey playoffs. D, you've confirmed the goalies or the injuries. How are you feeling about Tomas Hurdle?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Like, wherever he ended up was going to be a better surrounding cast than what he's working with. I think it's a pretty ideal spot because he goes to a team that's hungry for some people to take over some minutes in the top six. So he's still going to get a chance to play a lot on a nightly basis. Obviously, he'll be heavy featured on that power play. And like I said, some really nice surrounding pieces with him as well. So yeah, he was a guy that was starving for some offensive talent around him this season and was, you know, pretty impressive how productive he was able to be despite of all that. So yeah, excited to see what he can do for Vegas. Obviously a pretty savvy move by them. No surprise there.
Yeah, they're just broken, eh? Like, nobody saw this one coming. I actually remember texting with one of my Red Wings buddies. I was just like, if there's like a guy that, like, I wasn't a huge interest in the Red Wings being like buyers at the deadline, but I'm like, if we could go out and try to move for somebody that's got some term, I'd be okay with that. And I mentioned Tomas Hurdle as one of those players. Then, like, as the deadline was approaching, none of the insiders were mentioning his Hurdle's name at all. I'm like, okay, obviously I'm just an idiot. And then he gets traded and I was like, shit, I was smart, but Vegas is just way smarter.
The way apparently in the works since the All-Star break too, right? So pretty surprising that they were able to keep it under wraps that long too.
Maybe that's why he played in the All-Star game and hurt himself more, just because he was like, I need one more showing for Vegas. But no, it was so Vegas the way they did it, too. It was like the last trade of the day. Well, like the third last trade of the day. But the last big trade of the day, they waited till they're like, oh, yeah, everyone thinks it's safe. And then just boom, in comes the Golden Knights grabbing the biggest fish off the board that wasn't even on the board. Ugh.
Ugh. Yeah, very Vegas Golden Knights. It's going to be interesting. I know I dumped some money into them winning the cup as soon as it happened before the odds changed, and boy, did they change. Okay, Jack Roslovich is next on our list. He gets traded from the Columbus Blue Jackets to the New York Rangers. Readily available right now at 14% owned, center right wing eligible. Roslovich actually, right prior to the deadline, had a tremendous run on the Blue Jackets top line playing with Boone Jenner and Johnny Gaudreau. He had 13 points, 4 goals, 9 assists, and 40 4 shots on goal in his final 12 games before the trade deadline. Then he gets shipped off to the New York Rangers, where that's a team that's been really looking for somebody to play on the top line right wing with Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider. Obviously, Blake Wheeler held that down for most of the season. Then he got hurt out for the year. Kaapo Kakko has been kind of in and out of that spot, hasn't really done a whole lot with it. Roslovic lands in a really, really good spot. So far through 3 games with the Rangers, has not done much with that spot. 0 points in 3 games, but he's playing close to 16 minutes a night. The shot volume is still there. He's only got 5 shots on net, but he's fired 14 shot attempts in 3 games. So to me, I really like Roslovic. I actually streamed him this week, or last week, excuse me, because the Blue Jackets had a really streamer-friendly schedule, and then he just so happened to get moved to the Rangers. I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to hold on to this guy for an extra week and see how it goes. But obviously playing with Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad is a great spot. You know, seeing second power play usage, wasn't seeing, you know, consistent usage for the Blue Jackets. I do think this is one of the better pickups right now, because I don't think anybody at the deadline had, you know, as big of a potential fantasy bump as Roslovic. Like I said, obviously things were going well with Gaudreau and Jenner, but Kreider and Zibanejad can be excellent. So I really like Roslovic moving forward, and I'm interested to hold on to him and see where it goes for the next couple of weeks. And if you're maybe in a safer spot in your fantasy league and you have a chance to just kind of hold them and see how this plays out, I like Roslovic. D, you know, we're obviously big fans of shot volume, and Roslovic has had that in bundles lately.
Yeah, obviously it hasn't quite carried over yet with just 5 shots on the goal in 3 games, but I'm with you. I'm down to hold off and wait it out a little bit and see exactly where this goes for him. It's just such a good spot, and he's been a guy whose talent has been touted in the past. So, yeah, whenever they get this sort of opportunity on a team like the Rangers, you want to just kind of at least get a piece of it and give him a bit of an audition for as long as you can, or maybe just use him as a streaming piece in the meantime.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, boys, not to repeat what you're saying, but it kind of is reminiscent of when Jack Roslovic got traded at the last deadline. He picked up heavy fantasy value right away in Winnipeg. Unexpectedly was kind of just a throw in. Actually, it wasn't even at the deadline. It was just in the PLD trade, but yeah, it was, we didn't think much of him. And then next thing you know, he's the more fantasy relevant player, or just one with fantasy relevance. So clearly, you know, he tends to get that spark from that. We love the position he's in. I don't think, you know, it gets much better than jumping up there with those guys when you're leaving the team you're leaving. So, yeah, no. Jack Roslovic, I think it's kind of cool to see him up in fantasy contention.
Yeah, First time in a long time. He's had some big opportunities throughout his career, and he's made splashes at times. It's not always been super consistent, but like if he can go through, like I said, he had a 12-game stretch where he picked up 13 points. If he can do that for you on that top line for the Rangers in the fantasy hockey playoffs, he could be an absolute monster pickup right now. Evgeny Kuznetsov next, like we said, moved from Washington to Carolina. Anything would have benefited Kuznetsov, right? He was in the player assistance program. He got waived. He was going to the AHL. So, yeah, his fantasy hockey value is obviously completely revived because he was going to be in the AHL and have none. But things have looked okay. He has, again, not much to show for it. No points in 3 games thus far, playing 15 minutes a night. He's not somebody that I have super high hopes for. Like, it's been a few years removed from when he's, you know, was a super, super good player. But there's still talent there. I think if you're in deeper leagues, he makes some sense, especially while he's on that top power play unit. And right now, like, if he's centering a line with Jake Gensel and Martin Necas, or if they change things up and it's Svechnikov and Necas, like, that's a pretty good spot for Kuznetsov to thrive here. So, again, I have Kuznetsov and Roslovic in one of my leagues of record. I've locked up a playoff spot. I'm in first place right now. I'm kind of just holding on, even if I lose a game down the stretch, just to see what happens, because I do think that there could be something here with both of these guys at this point. I think there is something here on the wire with Roslovic and Kuznetsov. I just really like where Kuznetsov's in this lineup. D, we'll go back to you here really quickly, because in that league, you are also in it. And as of right now, me and you are set up to play each other in the first round of the playoffs. So me losing a game might actually help, and we won't actually face each other. So maybe I should hold on to Kuznetsov, and hopefully he does nothing for your sake.
True. I'm still battling for a spot, so I don't have the luxury that you do to just kind of give these guys these 3-game PTO tryouts. But I'm with you. I mean, Kuznetsov isn't that far removed for some pretty significant fantasy value. Even a year ago, you know, he had trouble finding the back of the net for sure, but he still managed 43 assists in 81 games. Year before that, he put up 54 apples, 24 goals to go along with that. So 78 points in 79 games. And obviously that roster around him in Washington took a pretty significant fall off as well, at least up front anyway. So I think I'm with you. He could have the very least and in deeper leagues, this guy who's still out there in almost 90% of leagues on the free agency pool could be a really great cheap source of assists down the stretch. And especially when the schedule lines up and it makes sense where you can slot them into your lineup and get some extra games. And like I said, in category leagues, if you're chasing assists or potentially power play points, if you can maintain a spot on that unit, which as I said, when we were talking about Gensel, has been a really strong power play unit all season long. I think he could be a sneaky addition right now.
Yeah. I'm right there, boys, right there with you. I mean, it can't get worse than 17 in 43 out in Washington. So value's up. Definitely worth looking at. Like you said, I think a lot of people are trying to stay away. They're still like, oh, you know, he was in the AHL. He's not good. But he is. No, he's a great hockey player. I think he wants to revive his game. He's also kind of, you know, he's got to prove people, everyone's saying all this other stuff wrong now. He's put in the perfect position for it. And there's going to be something there. I think once he finally gets that first point out in Carolina, I'm expecting him to kind of, you know, put up a lot more than 17 and 43. But yeah, I love him as a streamer going forward. Going to be fun to see, but definitely keep your eye on DFO and make sure that Jake Gensel, when he's at full health, doesn't boot him off that top power play. Cause I could see him just breathing down Kuznetsov's throat. So, or neck, not his throat. He's not going near his throat.
It's going to be interesting, right? Like I do think that line in general, or Svechnikov and Luzbak, can have some success at 5v5, even if he does get that bump off the top power play unit. But we shall see. Lots of moving parts in Carolina. They like to tinker. Next on the list is Anthony Duclair. He's the last skater we're going to talk about here, and he moves from the San Jose Sharks to Tampa. Again, you can't really do much worse than what he was working with in San Jose. But Duclair is a player that we've seen in recent years make big fantasy splashes. He scored 31 goals and had 58 points in 2022 with the Florida Panthers. When he's surrounded with talent, he can be productive. Pretty good start to his Tampa Bay Lightning career. One goal, one assist, three shots on goal in his debut. Currently skating on the second line with Anthony Cirelli and Steven Stamkos. So in a fairly decent spot in that lineup to produce. I don't have quite as high of hopes to think, you know, I don't think he's going to replicate what he did in 2022 with the Florida Panthers, but second power play usage, pretty good 5v5 line with Cirelli and Stamkos. I do think, again, this is a guy that could provide a late season spark. Biebs, we'll start with you on this one. What do you think of Anthony Duclair? If you had, first, just what do you think about him? And then if you had to pick between Duclair, Kuznetsov, or Rozovic, which one would you be going with moving forward?
Oof, okay. Going to go Rozovic. And just so that you guys now know what I feel about Duclair, I'm going to go Duclair and then Kuznetsov third. Because I love this position. I mean, playing alongside Stammer and Cirelli. Cirelli's one of the better two-way centers out there. So that allows Duclair to kind of just, not that, you know, wingers are that huge in the defensive zone, but allows him to play his game a lot more, which is just an offensive game. One thing that really helped him was the 4 points on his way out, just waving to San Jose, like, this is what I can do. And now I'm going to go play for Tampa and put up 2 points. I think we saw it there, what he's capable of. He's a shooter, three shots in his first game on just 14 minutes of ice. So if he gets a little bit more comfortable there, starts to get up closer to 16, he's definitely going to be worth some looks. But as far as spot starts go, if Tampa has some weak matchups, or just in general, if you're like Brock in one of those leagues where you're sitting back, looking nice, which I am in one of ours, it's definitely worth, you know, like D said, and I love the 3-game PTO, try him out, see what happens. And you know, he at this point, he's at 2 points per game while he's in Tampa. But no, I don't expect that, obviously. But he's
obviously going to be at a two point per game pace, right?
And he's going to knock McKinnon off for the Hart Trophy, and it's the greatest resurgence or greatest 20 games we've ever seen. But no, I love the pickup for Tampa. He fits right in there. He's a great top six guy, and like I said, he is all offense, which is bodes well. But no, yeah, you nailed it. I don't think he's Florida Duclair, but Walmart version Florida Duclair still gets on my fantasy roster some nights. And yeah, that's all I got to say on that.
D, anything to add on Anthony Duclair quickly?
Hard no.
Sorry, Ekholm is a late scratch, so I'm dealing with that right now. No, I agree. I think Duclair, Obviously has a lot more upside with the Lightning. I would say I like him more than Roslovich, probably on par with Kuznetsov. I think they could just offer you different things. And Duclair, if you're chasing goals, I think Duclair out of all three of those guys is probably offers the most upside in that regard. But yeah, there's room in that top six again for him to carve out a role. I don't think there's really room on that top power play unit, which obviously caps the upside, but it's just such a better position than he's been in. But I think we have to be realistic in that even in his best years, this is a guy that relied on some pretty high conversion rates to be around a 60 point pace. So again, I think this is more of a streaming option than anything else, but I think that's realistically what we're talking about with all three of these guys.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Moving on, let's talk about a couple of goalies. And both going to the New Jersey Devils, they completely revamped their crease, or so they think, at the trade deadline. First acquiring Jake Allen from the Montreal Canadiens. He has another year on his deal as well, so he will be with the Devils next year. He's currently 13% owned. And then a little bit later in the day, in a much more quiet move, and again, a move that made absolutely no sense to me from the San Jose Sharks' perspective, they acquired Kaapo Kähkönen straight up for Vitek Vanecek. To me, Kähkönen is the better goalie of the two. He also makes less money and isn't signed through next year. So why the Sharks would make this trade is baffling. But honestly, I think that Kähkönen might be the better pickup for the New Jersey Devils. I would not be shocked if Kähkönen is the more productive goalie than Jake Allen through the remainder of this fantasy hockey season. Kähkönen showed himself to be pretty solid. You know, he obviously had some really bad games in San Jose. That's going to happen when they're as bad as they were. He also had some really, really outstanding performances, particularly of late. He looked really strong in his Devils debut. I think this is a pretty solid young goalie and a very under-the-radar pickup for the Devils at the deadline. And honestly, if I was going to pick up one of these guys right now, I think I'd like Kähkönen more. The only issue I would have with that is I'm not sure the Devils feel that way. I do think that Allen probably plays more, but again, I would not be stunned if at least, you know, the visa issues allowed Kähkönen to get in the first start and he looked good. And if they start going alternating starts, I wouldn't be shocked if Kähkönen outplays Jake Allen in New Jersey. D, are you done confirming Ekholm's injury? Do you want to jump in here, Kähkönen or Allen?
I'm done. We got a guest on their pairs for tonight. Troy Stetcher making his Oilers debut, so that is fun.
It's fun.
But yeah, I think there's probably more upside there. I think we kind of know what you have with Jake Allen, and I agree. I think Kähkönen is a guy whose talent is always kind of flash and make you thought that maybe he could be more productive and in a better state, because so much more, I mean, I say it all the time, but goaltending, especially in fantasy, in terms of the stats they give you, their team stats and the team playing in front of you just matters so much. And certainly a lot more of that lends itself to goals against average. But if you're giving up as many high danger chances as the Sharks were, it's going to have an impact on your save percentage as well. And obviously the Devils are desperate for some answers in goal here. I think it's a little bit harsh on Nikola Dawes because it's not like he's performed that poorly, but I think also Vitek Vanecek has set the standard pretty low this season, and Akira Schmid when he got the opportunities as well. But I mean, I didn't love the idea of them giving up assets for Allen, considering that I just don't, it's hard to imagine him really contributing for them next season. And I really do think it's kind of a lost cause for them this year, as talented as their roster is and as tough that is to admit. But I mean, when they're flipping basically some of the pieces that they got for Tyler Toffoli to bring in an over-the-hill goaltender and Jake Allen, I just don't know if that was the answer. But at least Kähkönen, I'm with you. I think there's a little bit more upside there. And there's still enough goal support with the Devils that in good matchups, I'm happy to spot start their goaltenders. So whichever of these guys ends up getting between the pipes, I'll probably they'll probably find some mentions on our streaming segments for sure.
Yeah, one thing that is worth noting that might actually help Kähkönen here is his trade didn't have any clauses attached to it, where Allen, if he touches the crease 50 times in the next, I mean, year and a half, it's a lot. It is a lot. But if he does, that pick moves from a 3 to a 2. And that might be something that they think about, you know, if they do start leaning on him, that's that can make a big deal in a deal like this. So I could see Kähkönen gaining some value in that regard, especially if he starts to gain steam. But I'm right there with you guys. Worth a look on spot starts. I wouldn't be absolutely sprinting to the wire if I have decent goaltending for them, especially as the schedule starts to line up with a lot of Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday games. But if they are on off nights, or if you do have a juicy matchup, because we are seeing a lot of teams, Columbus, Chicago, San Jose, just put out AHL teams. If you can find them against teams like that, it's definitely worth a look. But yeah, either way, I don't mind either going, like you guys said, but I'm definitely going to keep an eye on Kakanen, because that's interesting. I've always thought he's decent. Jake Allen. Yeah.
I've always thought Kakanen was pretty good. We'll see how things shake out. Just to clarify, there was some confusion on Jake Allen's clause. It actually is only for next season. To play 40 plus games in 2024-25. But again, if Kakanen performs well this year, I mean, it could still carry over to next season. Okay, again, like I said, we're going to take a jump back to last week and just revisit kind of some of the things we were right about, things we were wrong about, reevaluate our stances. First, Anthony Mantha was traded to Vegas. We said it probably helps his value a little bit. More of a lateral move, if anything. And I think that that remains to be the case. Playing on the second line with Chandler Stephenson and Brett Howden. We saw quite a bit of Brett Howden, Chandler Stephenson, and Mark Stone. The Vegas Golden Knights have come out and said that they plan to use Howden, Stephenson, and Mantha together plenty, similar to how they did with Howden, Stephenson, and Stone. So, you know, not the best spot in the lineup. It's okay. Mantha also on the second power play unit. I would say that we were pretty much bang on that it is more of a lateral move, was in a decent spot in Washington, in a decent spot in Vegas. So not too much more to add there. Tarasenko, we said that this definitely helps Vladimir Tarasenko's value. Absolutely tremendous trade for him moving to the Florida Panthers. And boy, has it ever paid dividends already. Tarasenko looks tremendous for the Florida Panthers. Currently has 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 points in his first 3 games with the Panthers. Worth mentioning, though, he's only playing 13 and a half minutes tonight. I don't know if that's going to change. They've won some of those games fairly handily as well. Certainly has an effect. But one player that I think that we were maybe a little bit low on last week was Bowen Byram. We thought that it was going to be a fairly similar situation. We thought that it was going to be, you know, it was obviously difficult for him to find major ice time while playing for the Colorado Avalanche. Find, you know, definitely difficult to supplant Cale Makar on the top power play unit. And we figured it was probably going to be pretty similar in Buffalo. That's not been the case thus far. Bowen Byram is on the top pair with Rasmus Dahlin, and he's also playing on the top power play unit with Rasmus Dahlin, and he has been off to an absolutely tremendous start with the Buffalo Sabres. 3 goals in 3 games, also adding an assist. 11 shots on goal during that time. He's playing nearly 25 minutes a night. 24:39 was playing 19:51 with the Avalanche. Biebs, you are a resident Avalanche fan. I know that you were bummed to see Bowen Byram go. But are you a little bit surprised to see just how good he's been, or did you always expect him to be this good with this amount of minutes and this kind of usage?
I'm not surprised at all to see him doing this, I will say. I am surprised to see them throw him just right out there right away, I will say that. But it's phenomenal to see. Talk about just like showing off your prize fighter. It's like, hey, we got this guy. Don't worry about Casey Middlestad. He never existed, but check this guy out. He shoots a ton, and he will eat up 25 minutes of ice alongside our generational talent defenseman. But what's most mind-blowing here to me is that Rasmus Dahlin currently up to 41%. That's up 12% in the last 24 hours. So he was at 29% last night. Not Rasmus Dahlin, Bowen Byram. Dahlin's way more owned. He's like 100%. Bowen Byram, though, sorry, 29%.
I rushed to the wire to pick him up.
Yeah, I was like, grab Dahlin? Him, sprint, hit over your grandma if she's in the way while you're going to the wire to get with him. But no, Bowen Byram, as of yesterday, they haven't even played since then. He was at 29, now at 41. That means he's still out there, though, in a lot of leagues. And this is a guy, personally, that I was running two defensemen in a league that has 4 slots. All year, and I decided to go to 3 for Bowen Byram. So that's quite the statement. I think while he's on that top power play and while they're giving him all this ice, you kind of need to get in on this. Brock nailed it with the 11 shots on goal. That's one thing that's beautiful. 3.8 shots per game across 3 games with the team. That just shows that, you know, even though Dahlin's an offensive horse, this guy's also going to be great. They're making a huge playoff push right now too. At the expense of Brock's Red Wings, who are just crumbling. Well, the waste company that's on their jersey just takes them to the ground because they haven't won since they put that on. But no, I think that while Buffalo's making this push, if Byram's the key piece, they're going to give him life. They're going to give him ice. It's going to keep happening. So I really like this guy. He should be up there near the 60s to 70s, in my opinion, as long as he's here and playing this much and stays on PB1. But, you know, if anything changes, it kind of swings back to what we said last week. So maybe just don't listen to this episode if he's off PB1 and not on Dahlin's line. But as for now, I like it. I might be a little too excited.
No, I think you're right on. It's so hard to find value on the blue line off the waiver wire. So maybe we were a little too bullish and too presumptuous in how that lineup would shake out. But it's hard to imagine them going away from that 2D setup on the top unit anytime soon, given how successful it's been. I mean, this is a team that, whether it's realistic or not, has reignited some hopes and they could actually make the playoffs just 5 points out, do not have any games in hand. But, you know, certainly it's gotten to the point, this nice little winning streak they've had, coupled by Brock's Red Wings helping out with a 6-game losing streak. Yeah, like the hope is there, and you're not going to go away from anything that's working anytime soon. And yeah, it's a guy who was obviously, like I said, the spot didn't seem to be great with Dahlin ahead of him on the depth chart, but if they're going to split duties, we saw maybe probably more most recent example is in San Jose with Carlson and Burns. For the most part, they split duties on that top power play unit in San Jose, and were both able to be very, very productive fantasy defensemen. And that kind of is what you really need to get two kind of top 20 fantasy blue liners off a single team, is you need them to really split that power play time, or maybe go with some two balanced units. But yeah, if they're going to be up there together and he's going to be firing the puck and seeing this many minutes, you know, you gotta try to keep him and keep room for him on your roster as long as you can. I was quick enough to grab him in two leagues, grabbed him last night mid game after he scored the first goal and stashed him on the bench. Saw enough out of Rasmus Anderson to cut the cord there with how nice. Things have been
smart
playing out in Calgary, and it worked out because that league is a points league that you get hit for minuses. And I saw the matchup with Colorado. I was like, this might actually be a positive move, just take them out of my lineup for later tonight, and end up working out because I think he was a -2 or -3 without anything else to drive that back up. But yeah, all that being said, like I said, it's so hard to find that kind of fantasy value off the wire for your back end. So you really got to take the shot when it potentially presents itself like it has here. And they got no reason, as I said, to go away from it anytime soon.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons we were probably a little bit hesitant was, you know, Owen Power seems to be a similar type prospect, right, to Byram. And they were never really interested in doing this. Maybe it's just because they needed that balance of having, you know, Power on one pair and Dahlin on the other. They didn't want to put too many eggs in one basket, and now they have that luxury of using Byram that way, and it makes sense. And yeah, it's been absolutely tremendous to start. The other two guys that we were pretty much bang on with was Adam Henrique to the Oilers. We certainly thought that hurt his value, just wasn't going to see the same amount of usage he was seeing in Anaheim, despite the fact that obviously he's going to a much better team. It's just not the same situation. I guess we were maybe a little bit nervous on the first day when he went out there and was on Leon Draisaitl's wing, but that lasted exactly one game, and now he's been on the third line since. No points in three games, only 4 shots on goal. Most notably, he's gone from 17.5 minutes in Anaheim to under 14.5 minutes with the Oilers. And lastly, we've got Noah Hanifin to Vegas. We said that his value is probably pretty similar, still going to play massive 5v5 minutes, which he is, and he's also probably still going to be on the second power play unit, which he is. So really no difference, maybe a slightly better offense.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Vegas, but I don't even think that that's really necessarily the case. He has picked up 2 assists in his first 3 games with the Golden Knights. He's seen his ice time dip a little bit from 23:46 to 21:37. Just the fact that the Vegas Golden Knights have a slightly deeper blue line, they can certainly roll 3 pairs with the best of them. So yeah, that is that for all of the trade deadline recap. Very exciting day of action. You know, I think for people who are just regular hockey fans, they probably enjoy that the trade deadline is on a Friday. As people who have to cover it, I certainly wish it was on any other day of the week.
Enough that.
Yeah, it was less than ideal, but I guess it made me feel less guilty about immediately turning to the booze to drink away all of the effort, because I'm like, well, at least it's Friday night, so here we go.
Honestly, though, are we not surprised that it's not on like a 12 game slate Thursday? So at least it was like I think we had 4 on Friday, which is even a decent amount, but they're at least all later West Coast games. So it's a bit
What I think they should do is they do this bye week thing. Like, let's just give the whole league a bye week during trade deadline week, lock the GMs in a hotel room together, and just be like, make as many trades as you can. A
lot of booze. And if we really cared about growing the league, like, we do have one of the best, if not the best, trade deadline season of any of the 4 pro sports. Let's just go all the way with it. Let's do a two-week-long roster freeze leading up to the trade deadline and force these guys to hold off until trade deadline day and really give TSN's Trade Center, and obviously here on our social media platforms at DFO, give our shows all the content they need to really turn this into a full-blown hockey holiday. Because I mean, come on, if you want to grow the game, if you want to get eyes on the game, like I said, already got the best trade deadline season out there. Let's make them hold off and let's make the job a little bit easier for us, maybe.
Yeah, shout out to the Daily Faceoff crew, Tyler Yamchuk, Frank Saravalli, Carter Hutton, and Colby Cohen. They did an absolutely tremendous job on trade deadline day. Hopefully you guys tuned in, because it was a great show, and hopefully you guys watched, because it's the 3rd year running for the DFO live trade deadline, and it's an absolute blast. So hopefully you guys tuned in. If you didn't, tune in next year. Okay, let's focus ahead on week 24 of the fantasy hockey season, which is in standard leagues the first week of the fantasy hockey playoffs, and we're going to just outline the strength of schedule for that week. And most notably, the schedule is absolutely ridiculous. Monday, 2 games. Tuesday, 12 games. Wednesday, 2 games. Thursday, 14 games. Friday, 1 game. Saturday, 15 games. Sunday, 1 game. I've never... Like, we always have Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday as light days. And Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday as busy days. It has never been this extreme, like, evenly distributed across the week. It makes absolutely no sense. But it's going to certainly make for very exciting fantasy hockey playoffs because, like, man, the matchup swings that you're going to see on a Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday with everybody going, it's going to just be an absolute slugfest. Yeah, it's going to be wild, but you can certainly get a leg up by getting guys now, especially if you're locked into a playoff spot, picking up guys that are going to be playing on those off nights ahead of time to make sure that you've locked them in. And there's only 2 teams that have at 2 games on the light nights. They're in total, you know, I think 7 or 8 teams that play at least one of those days, but there's only 2 teams that play on 2 of those days. And that is the Buffalo Sabres and the Vancouver Canucks. So those 2 teams, if you've got a couple of players from those 2 teams, like Bowen Byron, D, you picked him up in our league of record. If you make it into the fantasy hockey playoffs and me and you are playing against each other, like, Bowen Byram can be an absolute game changer because you're going to have full lineups the rest of the week. There's no point in picking up anybody else other than anybody that plays for the Sabres or the Canucks. So yeah, like Bowen Byram, if he's out there and you're in those 59% of leagues where he's available, he could be an absolute matchup changer in week one of the fantasy hockey playoffs. Just some other notable names that are available on the waiver wire for these teams. Some of them less so, but still worth mentioning. Dylan Cousins for the Buffalo Sabres. We'll start with them. 57% owned center right wing, obviously a huge part of the Buffalo Sabres offense. I just mentioned Bowen Byram, up to 41% owned. 25 minutes a night. You're going to get two extra games out of him. Huge addition. JJ Paterka has been a little bit cool as of late, still 13% owned, still probably the second best pickup you can have for the Buffalo Sabres behind, at forward at least, behind Cousins, but I would still certainly lean Byram over him. And then Zach Benson had a big game against the Red Wings yesterday. So did Jordan Greenway. They're 2-1% owned. You're kind of dumpster diving there a little bit more, but again, anybody else you pick up from other teams, they're going to be sitting on your bench anyway, so you might as well get the extra games in, even if it's Benson or Greenway. For the Vancouver Canucks, Elias Lindholm, 57% owned. Nils Höglander, 8% owned. He's been on absolute fire lately. He might be a worthwhile pickup just to ride out for the rest of the remainder of the regular season here. And then again, going to provide you two extra games in the fantasy hockey playoffs. Love Nils Höglander right now. Connor Garland, 7%. He's on the Vancouver Canucks top power play unit right now. Still not seeing a ton of usage at 5v5, but he's had a pretty strong year and now on the top power play unit. Really like Connor Garland. And then Ilya Mikheyev, kind of hit or miss, but still right now playing with JT Miller and Brock Besser. Again, anything you can get here from these guys is going to be additional, and it's going to be matchup changing in close matchups. So for me, if we don't focus on the super high owned guys, I really like Höglander and Garland a lot. Paterka's good. Byram would be a favorite. Those would be the guys I would be focusing on. Do you guys have anything to add here, or D, do you want to just roll right into the weekend stream?
Hey. We could roll. I think Paterka is the steal out of all that, right? In terms of guys that are widely available, obviously in shallower leagues, we like some of those other names more. But I think Paterka with his shot volume, hopefully if he could work his way up the lineup that week, that'd be fantastic as well. But yeah, his talent, his shot volume. And then I think Höglander, to your point as well, has been so productive in a bottom six role or in a limited role, I should say, all season for the Canucks. So yeah, those are two names I would definitely highlight. Biebs, you got anything to add before we go into the weekend streams?
No, this is just really good news to have because I kind of don't even want to mention this, but in certain leagues that you're going to be in, there will be players that'll fool you with that are out there. For example, D and I are in a league right now that has Alex Tuck on the wire. And with the playoffs coming, that's someone who looks like they could just be a monster. I'm trying to make that not happen as we speak, but we'll see what happens here.
We only mention these guys because they're own percentages are at least somewhat attainable in most leagues, but there are certainly leagues where I'm sure Jeff Skinner's been dropped. There's Alex Tuck. Like, there's going to be other names like that. Vancouver Canucks, I'm sure, you know, Besser and Miller and Pedersen and Hughes are all still, 100% owned. But the Sabres especially, you're going to find some diamonds in the rough. I mean, Tage Thompson might be hitting the wire in some leagues. And
if
that's the case, scooping them up right now could be absolutely ginormous. But man, like, what a week at Daily Faceoff that's going to be as well. Half the week we're just going to be chilling, and then the other half of the week it's just an absolute killing. Grind. So super weird week. Like, I again, like, we always have something similar to that, but man, to the extremes of week 24 is pretty wild, especially considering also, it's going to be the fantasy hockey playoffs.
I was going to say, just a heads up too, we'll keep you updated if you're like, what about week 25? We'll keep you involved and updated on that next week when we kind of look a little bit deeper. Right now, though, we're just focusing on that first round. And we do get it. If you listen to this, you probably do have a buy-in to week 25. It kind of just comes with the territory, but we'll cover that on later dates. I didn't realize quickly that. Yeah.
On week 25, it's the complete opposite of week 24. 8-2-5-9-6-11-9. This is the most balanced week of all. I don't know what's going on. The NHL just is completely confused. But anyways, without waiting any longer, let's head over to Dylan DeBerthian for these weekend streamers.
All right. So as you alluded to, this weekend does, for the most part, follow that typical schedule, although we are a little bit busier on Sunday. We got two games Friday, 14 on Saturday, and then 7 on Sunday. And again, we got three teams here to look through. So we'll get right into it. The Anaheim Ducks, for the third consecutive week, find themselves with that Friday-Sunday schedule. So Lots of names that we've been hearing the last couple of weeks, but some that have really delivered. But first and foremost, I mean, Troy Terry, Mason McTavish, both are both returned to the lineup. I think it was last weekend for that Friday or maybe the Sunday game. But either way, they're both healthy right now. Troy Terry is 39% owned, right wing eligible, just one assist in his last five games since returning from an upper body injury, but is beginning to look like himself again of late. Seven shots on goal in his last two games. Second line with Ryan Strome and Frank Vetrano. So that's a nice spot at 5v5 there, as well as the first power play unit. I'd expect him to get back to his usual production sooner than later. This guy that's had a better year than I think most people give him credit for, especially giving the cold streak of late with 17 goals, 29 assists in 59 games this season. And then, like I said, Mason McTavish, 38% owned. He's got center left wing. He cooled off after a hot stretch where he put up four goals, five assists in eight games, pointless in three since returning from an upper body injury, which sidelined him for a couple. I still like betting on the talent and opportunity here. First line power play unit for McTavish. And then Ryan Strome, he was featured as a streamer last week. He's left wing, right wing, 11% owned, even though he plays primarily center. Way to go, Yahoo. But he came through for us in a big way, picked up a couple of goals and an assist last weekend. I'm not quite as high on him this weekend, given the fact that the Ducks are a bit healthier. Certainly limits his role, especially on the power play, where he's currently held to the second unit. But like I said earlier, nice spot at 5v5 alongside Frank the Tank Vetrano and Troy Terry. And then Alex Killorn, one of our biggest studs. I picked him as the highlight of the article when it went up last week. I had his picture up there for the weekend streamers, and he delivered as well, left wing, right wing. 21% owned, delivered a pair of goals last weekend, which was huge. Shot volume has died down a bit, but still on that first line with McTavish, still rocking that top power play unit usage. The matchup spread, not fantastic here for the Ducks. They are in Winnipeg Friday and St. Louis on Sunday, but Killorn could still be a cheap source of goals if you're desperate this weekend. He's got four in his last five. And then moving on, we got the Blackhawks. They're hosting the Kings on Friday, hosting the Sharks on Sunday. Normally, as you know, they've come up a few times. Chicago gets a lot of Sunday games, so they come up a few times in this segment throughout the year. They're typically a hard pass for me, but the matchup with the Sharks on Sunday does have me just a tiny bit intrigued, and that first line's been playing really well, so it's definitely enough to recommend Nick Foligno, left wing eligible, 9% owned, and Philip Kurashev, who is center eligible, 2% owned. I like them both in deeper leagues, and probably if you're chasing the right categories, could make sense in shallower leagues as well. Foligno, especially interesting coming off a four assist night against the Ducks, showing that he can do a nice little job against some inferior teams. Shot volume has been fantastic of late. He's got 19 shots on goal in his last five and skating alongside Bedard at 5v5 and on the first power play unit, averaging almost 19 minutes a night over that stretch. So he could definitely be worth the ad considering that enticing matchup against the Sharks on Sunday. And then Kurashev as well, also skating with Foligno and Bedard, as I said, at 5v5 and on the top power play unit. He's getting a ton of minutes, certainly more of a pass first option, so he's more likely to help you out with assists than goals this weekend, but he's on a nice run of late and quietly having a very productive season, especially relative to the rest of that cast in Chicago around Connor Bedard. He's got 13 goals, 27 assists in 59 games, four goals and four assists in his last six. So that line's been playing quite well of late and could be worth riding heading into the weekend. And then we got the Jets. They got Anaheim on Friday before traveling to Columbus on Sunday. So that's a really, really nice matchup spread for the Jets. Of course, all their main contributors are well above the ownership threshold to make it into this segment, but Sean Monahan, still just 36% owned, out there in plenty of leagues. His production has tailed off of late. But I said when that trade happened, I think he's probably someone that'll be, I won't be holding down a long-term roster spot for, but happy to stream him when the schedule lines up. And it's hard to imagine a better schedule in terms of streaming this weekend for him. So I'm happy to roll the dice on him considering that usage, despite a lack of shot volume and hard production of late. Second line, first power play unit. And of course, nice little boost and upside there at 5v5 with the arrival of his new linemate, Tyler Toffoli. And then despite not getting any power play time right now, one name that I do think is worth a roll of the dice in deeper leagues is Alex Iafallo. Left wing, right wing eligible, 3% owned. The third member of the Jets second line alongside Monahan and Toffoli. Like I said, no power play time right now. So he's got to make a count at 5v5, which he could certainly do considering his newfound linemates and that ideal matchup spread with the Ducks and Jackets this weekend. Looked great in Toffoli's first game. I think they're getting blanked right now, so not the best look for the Jets right now. But like I said, the matchup's just too good to ignore this weekend. So Iafallo, I think, is definitely worth a punt in deep leagues. And then moving on to the goaltenders, 14 games on Saturday, 7 on Sunday, like I said. So there'll be plenty of backup goaltenders getting the call on that last day of the fantasy week, but really just two names that I want to highlight in goal this weekend. The first of which is Alex Nedeljkovic, just 9% owned. Nedeljkovic got off to a great start this season, backing up Tristan Jarry, but he struggled of late. He's lost his last three starts, posted an 820 save percentage across his last four appearances. But luckily for him, he should be in a great spot to bounce back on Sunday. Penguins are facing the Rangers at home on Saturday, so that should definitely be Jari before hosting Brock's struggling Detroit Red Wings on Sunday. So yeah, Jari's going to get the Rangers. You know that. That leaves the Wings for Nedeljkovic. And like I said, the Wings are on some kind of slide right now, losing six in a row. The Pens will be favored in that game. And it's a great spot for Nedeljkovic to get back in the win column, although it obviously comes with a risk considering his struggles of late. And the name I actually prefer and would check on first is Joel Hofer, 7% owned. The Blues are facing the Wild Saturday before hosting the Ducks on Sunday, who, yes, as I highlighted before, have some potential pieces up front that could do some damage this weekend, but they also have a 23-39-3 record on the year and a fresh off a 7-2 loss to the Blackhawks. So Hofer and the Blues will be heavy, heavy favorites in this matchup. Hofer has performed well when he's gotten the call this year. He's got a 9.13 save percentage across 24 games and looked great against the Bruins on Monday, allowing just a single goal on 37 shots en route to a 5-1 victory over Boston. So he's my top option on goal on Sunday. If you're looking to steal some categories or in your points league, you're looking to make a late push, Joel Hofer could make all the difference.
Yeah, 9.20 save percentage since Christmas for Joel Hofer. So, I mean, 9.13 on the season, but he's just been super consistent. He honestly is probably one of the more unfortunate goalies this year, just because Jordan Binnington has played better than I think most people expected. And Hofer should probably be getting more usage based on his play, but Binnington's been, you know, just so good as well. So didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah, Hofer has been just really, really reliable.
No, and also make a point for Hofer. I think Nedeljkovic, Pittsburgh's lost seven of their last eight. So both of these teams could actually just both lose at this point, it seems like, between Pittsburgh and Detroit on Sunday. The fact that one of them has to give is bad. But yeah, Nedeljkovic on his own personal three-game losing streak, like you mentioned, I think Hofer is miles and miles away. Either way, though, beauty suggestions by D streamers. It's automatic. You know how it is. But you got any more juice in the tank, or was that all of it?
No, that's it. That's how you win your matchups this weekend.
Oh, yeah. So pick up guys for that and start picking up guys on Buffalo.
D's stamp of approval. That's how you win matchups this week, baby. All right. Yeah, that is going to do it, as always, for Season 9, Episode 35 of the GFO Fantasy Podcast, presented to you by our friends at Betway. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We know that it's been a long season. I hope you're still with us. I hope your fantasy teams are still thriving. We're running out of things to talk about, so we're just going to keep hammering away, focusing on the fantasy hockey playoffs. You're already ahead of the game here for Week 24. Hopefully, you just keep coming back, and we just keep feeding those pickups and building championship rosters as we move forward. So thank you guys as always. See you guys back here next week.
Yeah, and if you have any last minute questions, feel free to send them on Twitter. Hit us up. We'll get you through. We're winning this thing. Let's go.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.